This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback.
And welcome back to the Coliseum in Oakland, California, where there's no score. And we're going to go our picks to click a little bit later, but right now our pick to click is Dan Hayes. What you got for us, Danny, my boy?
Oh, Danny, my boy. Hawk Harrelson loved him some Dan Hayes.
Who doesn't?
We love us some Dan Hayes. Tell you what, he's the best Twins beat writer for The Athletic I ever saw. Dan Hayes joins us right now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Massive news over the weekend, written by John Greenberg with help from Dan Hayes. And I mean, you got to help us as Dan Hayes from The Athletic joins me, Matt Spiegel, and her, Layla Rahimi. Why did Justin Ishbia abandon his pursuit of the Twins? A massive blow to Minnesota, it seems, from the reaction and everything, but did it fall apart, or is this him choosing the White Sox closer to his heart or home? What's your perspective on it with your Sox ties and your current Minnesota connection, sir?
Yeah. And good to be on with you guys. You know, look, this is without question. I know the White Sox declined that there is any kind of deal with Justin Ishbia. I know that they've said there's no path to power, but Justin Ishbia was well down the road with the Twins. There was an expectation that whoever was going to buy the Twins was going to be selected by opening day. That doesn't mean they'd be in place, but everything basically would be well on the way to a close. And everybody around the league, and we're talking, you know, the great part about working at Team Athletic is we have a lot of really good reporters who have a lot of great league sources. Everybody around the league thought Justin Ishbia was the Twins guy. And it fell apart because there has to be. Look, if you are so desperate to buy a team, if that's your main goal and you can own this team by opening day, there has to be something in place with the White Sox, a handshake deal that, you know, after Jerry passes, you know, something along that line that he can take over. I mean, it just doesn't compute otherwise because he loves the White Sox. He already owns a stake in there. We know about the mansion he's building in Winnetka. He clearly wants to establish roots there. And it's a chance to wake a sleeping giant because, frankly, if the White Sox get that new park and they become a destination the way that Wrigleyville is, and it doesn't even have to be, you know, more than a quarter of what Wrigleyville is, right, because we know what that does. But the White Sox have never been a destination where even if the team's terrible, 25,000 people go to the game because there's a lot of fun to have around the ballpark. You know, there's bars, there's music venues, stuff like that. And I think if the White Sox were ever to get that stadium, man, it would be a huge deal. And I think Justin Ishbia just sees the long-term goal here with the White Sox and is willing to take a back seat to Jerry Reinsdorf for the last part of his tenure as White Sox owner.
Yeah, Dan, I appreciate the context that you've added to this because it's not in a vacuum. You know, it's not just the story of Justin Ishbia buys more shares of the White Sox. It's him walking away from a deal that we don't, I think, understand how close it really was to happening. Can you illustrate that piece of it, is how close he was to buying the Twins? When you say opening day, all the things that have to be in place for that to occur in Major League Baseball.
Yeah. Again, there still needs to be MLB's owners approve it. You know, they have to do all the paperwork and that stuff. But it was thought to be that close. And it's so close that granted, the Twins and the people that are in the front office are a step removed because there's an outside company facilitating the sale, just like with a house and a real estate agent, right? You don't – that agent takes care of all the negotiations. But the Twins were shocked the other day when this came down. Everybody was expecting Ishbia to be the boss at some point this season and clearly getting approved by opening day. So it certainly was well down the road. And we're talking, when this news broke is 33 days from opening day. So when I talked to people involved with the sale early in January, the message was total confidence that there was a robust interest in the Twins and that the goal was to pick the winning bidder by opening day. And basically I was told if someone speeds up the process, you allow them to do that. And by all accounts, he was. And the messaging now on the Twins side of the deal is, well, we have an adequate group of buyers that are interested, and we may have a resolution within 30 to 60 days. So the timeline has suddenly shifted. The only reason can be that Ishbia abandoned his bid for the Twins. And John Greenberg reported it in the story that they worked on together, that after it was made public, was looking at the Twins, that the Reinsdorfs approached him sometime in January. And honestly, the minute that happened, the Twins had no shot, as long as there was some kind of, wink, wink deal. There has to be that deal, just because, look, he's so far with the Twins, and he wants a team. And I think that that's the ultimate motivation there. And I think he thinks he's going to have a team at some point in the future. And man, I think you look at it, the Twins, there's some revenue to be earned there with a new ownership switch. This team sold 3 million tickets 3 times. They're about 1.98 million last year. If they could get a new owner, that's an additional 50 million just in ticket revenue that would come on if you could hit 3 million ever again. And honestly, Twins fans are so ready for this. The similarities between two fan bases is striking. Like, both of them want new owners, and both of them dream of a guy like Dustin Ishbia who comes in and has deep pockets and wants to win. But I think that it's short term gains versus what could be just a monster with the White Sox if they ever get their potential realized.
Well, I think you just touched on it where I wanted to go as we're talking to Dan Hayes. From The Athletic, who knows the Sox fan base and the Sox storylines and the Reinsdorf family, but now is covering the Twins as well as anyone in the game. Because what is there to gain in terms of a new Twins owner as compared to the White Sox? The White Sox, if they can get the stadium and if they can do that, you get a sleeping giant thing. There's just... I mean, the Twins have a ballpark. It's a wonderful ballpark. I love going to Target Field. But it's done. So I don't know what more there is to do there other than draw. There just isn't an upside that possibly compares to the global view of what the White Sox could do, is there?
I mean, look, it's, the third biggest media market? And you can argue maybe it's like ninth or tenth because of the Cubs get most of the attention. But ultimately, you're still in a huge media market, and there is a lot of fan base that we've seen them support the White Sox when there's a reason to support, and we've seen them go away in droves. But the franchise value with the new stadium, and there's a very good chance this could help Jerry achieve a new stadium by Justin Ishbia buying up the more stake and giving him some cash to accomplish that. This franchise can go through the roof in value. And I think, potential wise, Chicago 100% over Minnesota. And Minnesota, you're right. Target Field's awesome. It's, I've worked in three teams now, Padres. I've been pretty fortunate with the ballparks. Target Field's amazing. I think it's a top 7 or 8 ballpark in baseball. The fans are really good, but you're looking at revenue from tickets sold. You're not looking at revenue from, the area around being a draw, the way that Wrigleyville is for the Cubs, and the way that maybe the Sox can do. I don't know, obviously the 78 sounds like it's up in the air, and maybe the Fire have a shot at that. Who knows how that goes? But if the White Sox can find some kind of place to build, maybe actually Justin Ismay is clearing all that man in Winnetka to put a park there. Who knows?
Dan, yeah. Good stuff, man. Nice catching up with you. Great job on this story, and you're the right perspective for us to help process this news. It'll be a fascinating thing to watch moving forward. Appreciate it, man.
Absolutely. Hey, thank you.
You got it.
Thanks, Dan.
That's Dan Hayes from The Athletic here on 670 The Score. Yeah, the mansion he's building in Winnetka is just is outrageous. I remember talking like a long time ago when the 78 had come up about the possibility of selling the team while in process for getting the new stadium okayed. And I think that's exactly what's happening here, because then the influx of capital can be from the ownership group, and you can ask a hell of a lot less from the state in order to get it done. I would stand here today and tell you that I think a new stadium at the 78 is going to happen for the White Sox.
I also think that what he said about the possibility of Jerry Reinsdorf having a verbal agreement, we know that is how he deals. He's a of his word type of person, so I could see that being a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Before we go,
yes,
we have to shout out, speaking of the White Sox, a roster that Matt and I are trying to wrap our heads around.
Oh my God, the Angels roster. And really, they're non-roster invitees as well.
We just don't understand.
It feels like a Stefan sketch. The Angels roster has everything, because you've got former White Sox, obviously, in Yoan Moncada, who's on the roster. Tim Anderson, who is a non-roster invitee.
Right, and that's what, when AJ brought up TA and you guys were talking about, and that's what got us talking about this.
Yeah. They also have Yolmer Sanchez. Yolmer Sanchez
is alive.
Let's go.
We think maybe Ron Washington's hitting that yayo again, or what's going on here over there in Anaheim?
Well, not just that, but they have Kyle Hendricks.
There's something for everybody.
And Jorge Soler
is there. Cubs.
What year is this?
Cubs fans of various vintages. White Sox fans.
I got some bad news for you guys here about some of that.
No.
You mentioned Yoan Moncada. A friend of mine sent this to me yesterday.
Okay.
The headline from SI.com, Angels $5 million infielder behind schedule due to soreness.
What?
Guess who it is.
I've never heard this.
Oh, no.
Oh, on top of that, who's on the coaching staff as an assistant coach, Tanny? Your guy, Jason Nix, White Sox legend.
Oh,
Jason
with a Y. What about his brother,
yep,
Lance?
Jason with a Y.
Can he get a job too?
Jason Nix.
Eric Young, the former Cub, Eric Young Sr.
EY, I worked with him in Houston.
There you go.
I have his bobblehead.
How about Jerry Nairn? Did you ever work with Jerry Nairn?
Yes, I did. Also, Jerry Nairn was a White Sox assistant.
How about this? Former Cubs strength coach, crazy man Tim Buss, is on the coaching staff.
What?
For the
Seriously,
Angels.
What year is this? I feel like we're talking about this team in 2016.
The Angels roster has everything.
Guys, I got a place in Orange County. We can go check this out for reconnaissance.
Let's go.
Obviously they're in Arizona right now.
I knew
just go
you were
back
loaded.
To Arizona.
I knew you were loaded. You've been hiding it for so long. You got a place in Orange County?
Is my dad's house.
Oh,
how
man.
Do you guys feel about hanging out there?
God.
Let's go to a game with your dad.
My dad doesn't like baseball.
That's why.
And he gets annoyed that I cover bad teams. He's like, why do you keep covering terrible teams?
I have no choice, Dad. I have no choice.
He just mocks my life choices.
You live and work in Chicago. So, I mean, you absolutely have no choice.
Dan Hayes and I used to work together on the San Diego beat.
Oh, God, I love that Yolmer is there. Something about Yolmer Sanchez being there.
It just puts it all together.
Oh, it really does.
That man's name is Carlos.
Yeah, they should DFA Yolmer and call up Carlos as a bit for
and
the
And then
fans.
He'll just pour the water bucket over his head while it's raining and everything will be complete again.
You guys watching White Lotus yet?
No, I haven't watched yet. Is it good?
I watched the first episode. I'm going to watch the second tonight when I get home.
All right.
Good. I'm too cheap to have HBO.
We watched
just like I offered up my dad's house for us to hang out at.
We watched the Gabby Petito American Murder on
Ooh.
Netflix.
I heard that's pretty
fun
bad.
Weekend.
Yeah, it's
I heard what happened to her was pretty bad.
Tell you what, it did not end well.
What happened?
Did it end in murder?
Yeah. It ended in murder.
Damn.
A couple
poor girl.
Yeah, it was very, very sad. Terrible. What was not said was this radio show. Thank you so much to Layla Rahimi. Great job by you. Thanks for working. Thanks to AJ Przinsky. He was really fun at 4 o'clock. Thanks to Dan Hayes, who just joined us, and to Ron Coomer, who had joined us earlier on in the show. Thank you to Connor O'Donnell and Jenna Duddleston. And, of course, Shane Reardon, who does a terrific job. And for Chris Tannehill. It is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. We thank you for listening. We will repay that by beginning again tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Bulls basketball is next, right here on 670 The Score.
All right, guys. Have a great life.
Have a good show.
We'll try.
What?